Hi, Sister Brunch family. I can't wait to share these episodes with you. Recorded at the Recording Club in Santa Monica in October of 2025. We were celebrating the end of our season 6 and doing a fundraiser for our season 7. We worked with the folks at Pioneer Network to help plan the event and run the event. And it was just an incredible day. And we were able to use the podcast room at the Recording Club during the event. So all that background noise you're going to hear is this celebration that's happening in the background. Keep in touch with us. Sign up for our newsletter, which you can do by going to our website and scrolling down to the bottom if you'd like to join future Sister Brunch celebrations. We can't wait to meet you. We can't wait to share more stories with you. And on that note, go ahead and enjoy these beautiful interviews that happened at our season 6 celebration.
Financials and industry transparency. Have you ever hesitated to talk money or scheduling publicly, and why?
Ooh, I don't hesitate to talk money, but I think as an entrepreneur, the hard part is about where I find the money, because a lot of the money that's available is available for nonprofits. I was just talking to somebody about this upstairs, right? But I have an LLC. So I have a lot of programs that I do that I would love to have funding for so that they don't become so expensive for the people who are participating. But a lot of the money that's out there is via grants. And then on the sponsorship side, then you really have to get out there and hustle and talk to people and ask about money. But you have to be talking to the right people. Mm-hmm. So I send a lot of emails that don't get responded to. But I don't necessarily know if I hesitate to talk about it altogether. I'm also one of those people who feels like we have to be transparent with each other so we can learn about like what's actually going on.
Right.
I think that myth about don't talk about politics, don't talk about money, don't talk about religion is the thing that kind of keeps us back from like really understanding each other, how humans work, and how you can walk into the next room and negotiate better for mm-hmm. yourself because you understand
money.
The money.
But I want to hear about the grants. Like, are you a grant writer?
I'm not a grant writer. I have written some grants before. I did my own short film, and my friend is a grant writer, so I pulled her in because I didn't want to write the grants.
Okay.
But I used to run a nonprofit, and so I've had to write grants before. Mm-hmm. But as an entrepreneur with an LLC, now I'm in the position of needing sponsorships, not grants. And that's just a totally different lane. And I actually need somebody else to do it. Yeah, like I don't want to do it. I need somebody else to do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to learn how to get grants and sponsors.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's see. This one doesn't have a category.
Come in at the next one. The next one. I'll stay here. Okay. For the next one. Go ahead.
All right. Describe a time when you felt truly seen or represented and how that impacted your work or your life. Ooh. That's deep. Wow. I didn't mean to go that deep that quickly, but
you went in. Okay.
That's what was available.
I think. Seen and represented. I want to say it's when I've done my own projects, you know, like because I get to choose cast, crew. I get to, you know, and it's usually people of color, women, you know, people who can see and understand me. I think it's getting harder and harder to be seen as a Black woman, even though like there's diversity programs and things like that, we still aren't always seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone says, I don't see color, and we know that that's not what you say anymore.
Absolutely.
We should know that by now, but I'm like, see me.
Yeah.
See me in all of my wonderful goodness, my skin tone, my gender, my sexuality, all of it is me. And love all of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to answer that question. I want to say it's probably when I'm doing my own projects, you know, being seen in someone else's project is not as easy.
Yeah.
You know, and there have been times when I felt seen in other projects, like TV shows, and you know, when I'm directing on like a TV show, obviously as a DGA director, you can't mess around. You know, and like there are rules you have to follow. So if you're doing non-union, people can do all kinds of stuff and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But if you're DGA, there are rules. So you have to be seen. You know, people have to ask you, what kind of book do you want in her hand? what's the couch going to look like? How do you want her, you know, her hair or, you know, or his shoes or whatever it is? And so that really, that does really make me feel seen, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter if you're male, female,
absolutely,
gay, straight.
It all comes down to you.
It all comes down to you are the director, mm-hmm. and you are the captain of the ship. Yeah. So that's also another way I feel seen.
Awesome. See, you did it.
It
felt
that
deep,
was,
but
that
you
was
did
deep.
It.
Okay, let's find another one for you.
Look,
okay.
Don't try to find a deep one for me just because.
Okay. Describe an aha moment, emotional or spiritual, that changed how you understand creativity.
Ooh, that changed how I understood creativity.
Yep.
Man, this is an aha moment that people say all the time, but we don't want to listen to. And I know that there will be people who listen to what I'm going to say right now and go, no, that's not true. I actually had this conversation with someone on TikTok the other day. But finding your lane, and even as a multi-hyphenate, focusing in on one thing so that you can master it, get good at it, mm-hmm. make your connections in it, grow in it, and then spread your wings. And I think a lot of the times as a multi-hyphenate, we also are trying to multitask it all. So it doesn't mean you can't do it all across your lifetime, but it might mean that you gotta focus in on this thing, if for no other reason to get your clout in that thing.
Yeah.
Because once you have the clout, people are more willing to listen to you and see you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But if I walk into the room and I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
To them, you just look scatterbrained.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what have you done in all those things? Just imagine if you're spending 24 hours across five things versus 24 hours across one thing, how much further you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
And I always give the example of like, whether mothers want to be honest about this or not, fathers want to be honest about this or not. You have three kids. All of them might be fed and clothed and safe, but are they all having the same emotional and mental journey? Because you can't be everywhere at one time, period.
Yeah.
No matter how much you want to be.
Yeah.
Are you multitasking and are you making it happen? Absolutely. Does that mean that only children are having a better life? No.
Yeah.
But just the thought of, you know, like a teacher, like I've been a teacher before. Having 20 kids in a class to teach is totally different from tutoring one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I kind of look at it like that. And as a multi-hyphenate, before age, I don't know, let's call it 36, I was doing everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, running organizations. I had a nonprofit. I was doing this. I was over my homecoming. I was, dancing and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And the moment that I moved back to Hollywood this time around, and I said, okay, Shannon, you're just going to focus on building this brand. It has gone exponentially faster because I gave all of my time to it. I literally quit all of the stuff I was doing. I was like, nope, can't be the president of this. Nope, can't run that. Nope, can't run that. And I focused it all on me
mm-hmm.
and on this one thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting to a point where it's like, okay, I can multitask a little bit now and I can start writing again while I'm building my business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like people don't want to hear that because they want to be able to do everything. And it's like, hey, we're not saying you can't do everything. We're just saying maybe one thing at a time so that you can actually build something.
One thing at a time.
And you can spread your wings so much more once people are like, you know what? She was a good director. Maybe she can write.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she did do a good job when she did blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll listen to her when she talks about this other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
All right. Let's see. Who was your most unexpected mentor? Or someone who believed in you when others didn't?
There's so many of those. I have to pick one. Unexpected mentor. Well, you know, here's the thing. I recently was elected co-chair of the Directors Guild Women's Steering Committee.
Oh, nice.
And it was the most unexpected thing for me because I'm a pretty new director in the DGA.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it could have happened if there weren't mentors, and I have to put an S on that.
Yeah.
Mentors in the DGA or in my life in general. And the reason it's unexpected is because of my networking. I'm everywhere. I network. I say your net worth is
mm-hmm.
your network,
mm-hmm.
but also the word work is in network. That's part of your work.
Yeah.
Right? So you meet people, but you don't meet them and ask them for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You meet them and you talk and you become friends or you get to know them. They're acquaintances. And at some point, they feel comfortable enough to mentor you, or you feel comfortable enough to ask.
Yeah.
Like, can I take you for coffee? Can I take you for lunch? I remember when I got into the Disney directing program, I immediately called Carl Seton. I was like, hey, you know, I've known you for years, but I never felt comfortable enough to like ask for coffee. But like now, like yeah. I feel comfortable because I'm doing this thing, you know? And he was like, sure. So we have coffee. And I was like, would you have done this had I not gotten into Disney? And he's like, yes, but you know, this adds validation.
Absolutely.
Right. So mentors like that, you know, even Anya, who's the person who's partly doing Sister Brunch, Anya Adams was my mentor for the DGA WSD squad.
Okay.
Right. And so you get assigned a mentor. And some people get assigned mentors and those people don't come, maybe not come through for them because they're so busy.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, meet on the Zoom or they can't meet for coffee. And she really did commit to the assignment, which was mentor this person for nine weeks. And, you know, we went for coffee. That's how I ended up going to, what's the social club everyone goes to now?
Oh, yeah, gathering spot?
No, that one too, but no, okay. Soho House.
Soho House, yeah.
I was like, I don't have no membership here, you know, but now I'm in,
now
you
I'm
know.
I'm here now.
Yeah, so there are just people that have stepped in ways that I can't even name.
Yeah.
And that have supported me through this journey to even getting elected to something that I was like 3 years ago when I joined, I wouldn't even turn on my camera.
Yeah.
Because I was so like, oh my God, like Gina Prince Bythewood is on here and you know, with Jeff Burton, like all these people I admire. Mm-hmm. And so I'd just be sitting and watching. Yeah. And now here I am as one of the cultures. And I think it's such a blessing, but it's also because a mentor. So there's a lot of people I just named, but there's so many people I haven't named that are just people that like the previous co-chairs of the WSC were so intentionally inclusive. Because if you think of the DGA Women's Steering Committee, it's a white women's steering committee. I mean, there's not a lot of black women in it, but somehow we're able, and before I became co-chair, to include black, Asian, Hispanic, like be more inclusive and be intentional about it, because I've seen a lot of the other committees who may subconsciously not be as inclusive. So I hope that answers your question.
It does, and I love that because I have been seeking mentorship. I have not had one-on-one mentorship. I just did the WIF
Women
Fellowship.
In Film. Okay.
And that was the greatest experience that I had, because usually you do get a mentor and you kind of see them one time and then it's kind of like it. Our mentors there really did take the time out to like curate a program for us, a curriculum for us. So that was really good.
Yeah.
But as far as like one-on-one kind of like, this is somebody I know I could call at any time and like someone who really understands what I'm trying to do and can really help
call
me
them
to
at
move
any time.
Into space. But I mean like would answer the phone.
Yeah.
You
when
know
you,
what I'm saying?
Call,
when
yeah.
I call.
Yeah.
I have been seeking that. So hopefully I can get a mentor.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it comes naturally or it comes from one of these programs. I wouldn't call it, I was very respectful of, you know, their time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do feel like I made a really good decision about my manager. I asked one of my mentors, I told her, this is what's happening. And my manager is like yelling at me and I don't know what to do. Like, I'm a loyal person. She's like, yelling at you? That's abusive.
Absolutely.
Like, why are you even, you know, even considering staying? Like, well, I don't have another one. I was like, she was like, gave me a couple of names. None of those actually called me back, but I ended up getting another one and I almost felt bad about it, but I thought back to that
conversation.
And I was like, I deserve better. I don't need to be yelled at. Like, I work for them when they work
for you.
Exactly. All
right. They don't get paid unless you get paid.
That's right, girl. Oh, this is a good one. When the industry seems overwhelming, what image, mantra, or story keeps you going?
Oh, I am one of those people who just believes that the people who don't give up succeed. You know?
I said that to someone out there, yeah.
Yeah, and also, I think I'm one of those people who, maybe this is a little bit of La La Land. I'm going to call it realism, but as I'm saying it to myself now, I'm like, in 2025, who knows? I just believe that the world is going to keep going around.
Yeah.
That this industry is going to change, but it's not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? So ride the wave wherever it's going.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about outside, the film industry is the economy of Los Angeles. If it goes somewhere, Los Angeles doesn't make it. And so I just don't believe that it's just going to totally collapse, totally not be here. It might look different from what we know it is, but it's not going anywhere. And so that just kind of keeps me grounded. That's like, okay, just ride the wave, just chill. You know what I mean? Just stay with it. Like right now, over the last week, I've had a lot of downs in my business. And as an entrepreneur, it's easy to go, child, let me just go get a job, you know? But yes. At the same time, you know, in those moments of wanting to give up, it's like, but this is how I pay my bills. So you cannot give up. So go ahead and put that post up.
Yeah.
Go ahead and send that email.
Because you're a...
I'm a screenwriter and script consultant.
Okay.
And so because writing is such a, I'm not going to call it a hard thing, because I don't want to discourage people from writing, but it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of time, which means I might have return clients, but I'm mostly getting new clients, because once you get your notes, it's up to you to go actually address those notes, and it could take you a month, 2 months, or a year before you're coming back and ready to talk about them again, right? So that means every day I'm looking for new clients.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Every day I'm marketing something. Every day I'm trying to figure out, how do I reach these people? Every day I'm redoing something on the website, or I'm figuring out what to change in the workbook, or I'm figuring out, well, where can I go speak so I can have exposure for my business, and blah, 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 every single day. And I'm doing most of it alone. So I have two contractors who help me with the screenwriting services, but as far as like running the business, it's just me. And every time I'm looking to bring people on board, for some reason, it may not work out one way or the other. And then it's back to just me. And I'm like, you know, but then I say, well, Shannon, well, how are you going to eat next week? All right, it's time to, you know.
Nobody's going to believe in your dream unless
absolutely,
you do.
Absolutely. No one's going to do. Absolutely. Yeah. No one is going to take care of your baby like you're going to take care of it. And I tell myself that every time. So I don't get upset about someone not being as passionate about the professional pen as I am.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's going to be passionate about it. For them, it's just a job.
Right.
Right. So however long they're here or not here, they came, they did their part, and now they're gone. It's me. I am the foundation. I'm the thing that keeps the ship going.
Yeah.
So I don't get an opportunity to just go, oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
But also that comes from just my discipline, you know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, having my coaches, being an athlete, being a dancer, being a gymnast, being all these other things. That's like, hey, stuff gets hard, but push through. It's not going to kill
you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you said, last man standing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone out there, and I was just like, I feel like it's the last man standing. I think you said you just got to ride the wave, but it will be the people who, you know,
who stayed with it,
yeah. Which is not as easy
no,
for everyone.
Absolutely not.
You know,
absolutely
but
not.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, and I'm also open to the wave taking me to a different destination. I tell people all the time, you might have come into LA to do one thing, but if you stay and if you network and work, you're going to move up. You might not take the path you thought you were going to take.
Absolutely.
You might not end up doing the thing. Yeah. You came here to be an actor and now you're a director.
Yes.
You came here to be a writer and now you edit. But
yeah.
if you stay and do the work, you're going to move up. It just might not look like the thing that you intended it to
right.
look. And so because I have that outlook on it, I just keep pushing forward. Like,
yeah.
keep pushing forward. The writer's strike was tough for my business. Okay. But I still just, okay,
right.
it's not going to be always.
Yeah.
It's going to come back. We're going to figure out. Somebody's going to sign something.
And I 100%
agree. And then we're going to keep it pushing.
I agree. You know, I with what you're saying about, like, you just have to continue because you could come here for one thing and do another thing. I started as an actor. I acted in, like, all of my, I acted in Truth Hall. I acted in Dog Park. I acted in some of my other films. But then I decided once, when I directed Truth Hall, I didn't plan to direct it. I just didn't have the budget to hire a director. So I'm like, okay, you know, and I stepped in and I never looked back.
Yeah.
And now I'm like behind the camera 100%.
Absolutely.
Like sometimes I'll jump in, but for the most part, you know, I came here for one thing, but the trajectory doesn't always look like you planned.
And that's what the meeting people is so great about, because then you're opened up to things that you didn't even really know and understand. You know? So
that was so much fun. Thank you.
It was great to meet you, Jay. You follow-
Hi, Sister Brunch family. Thank you so much for watching or listening to our interviews from the Sister Brunch celebration for season 6 and season 7 fundraiser. Sister Brunch is brought to you by Trujillo Productions, and I am Fanchen Cox. I'm the co-creator, co-host, and producer of the Sister Brunch podcast. And we also have our season 7 team helping out. That's Samantha K. Henderson, Tasha Rogers, Ashanti Groves, Charlie T. Savage, Sean Pipkin West, and Megan Fillmore. Sister Brunch is recorded on the unceded territory of the Tongva and the Chumash in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for listening. You can support us by leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen or watch the podcast, and also joining us over on our Patreon, where we're starting our Sister Sessions. Sister Sessions will teach you about things that all of our different guests and our team members know about. We welcome you to that community, and that's at patreon.com/sisterbrunch. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy these beautiful interviews from our season 6 celebration.